Anyway, the title of my message this morning is, Mr. David, Feed What Feeds You. Nice to see you in church. Thumbs up to you too, my friend. Feed What Feeds You. So I want to look at a passage of scripture that is actually my wife's favourite. You know something's good is going to happen when everything doesn't work. So we'll get there. Let's hope this one's synced. Here we go. Galatians 6. This is one of my wife's favourite passages because she often says to Jared and I as we're at home, God is not mocked. It's one of her favourite sayings in the Bible, and she takes it literally and she takes it out on us when we stir her up. She says, what we sow, we reap. God is not mocked. Say it with me, God is not? Okay, so let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, say it with me, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Thank you. Now I've got two. Where was I? Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap if we do not lose heart. Has anyone lost heart? Don't put your hands up. I could put my feet up as well. We all lose heart from time to time, right? So this is a really good passage. And therefore, as we have opportunity, who knows that every one of us has opportunity? As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Turn to your neighbour and say, I'm glad you're sitting next to me. And I'm going to do something good for you. All right, so let's see if we can get this one working. All right. One of the greatest opportunities that we have in this life is to be a blessing to those around us. Wasn't that a great testimony from Glenda and how Angel has been a complete blessing in her life? My goodness, isn't that what Christianity is all about? And so, Paul, I want to talk about relationships a little bit, and I want to talk about our heart and our giving, because this passage actually refers to giving to those who minister and feed, give you food. Who thinks that Emma's done a pretty good job last few weeks in giving you good food? Come on. Yeah, it's worthy of a clap. And, you know, all the people that do musically help from week to week actually help bring you in the presence of God. It's important, right? And so everything that we do, and now you've got me this morning, and I've had this message sort of percolating for a while, and it's like, it's just one of those once-off messages that we need to hear at least once a year. And so we're getting it this morning. Paul is referring in particular in this passage to ministering out of our earthly goods. Does anyone here have any earthly goods whatsoever? All right. To our spiritual teachers. Whoever is feeding us the word, looking out for us, caring for us, if we have a responsibility to, we have a responsibility to put back into their lives. That is the word of God. And so Paul encourages the Galatians to live by the Spirit. Does anyone want to live by the Spirit this morning? The whole of Galatians is about living by the Spirit. There is a cycle of life that God has created. Who wants to be in the cycle of life that God has created? Not that we create, but that God has created. Because this is the important part here. And so when we're in this cycle of life, when we feed what is feeding us, God does not have to create again because we are in his cycle of life. Everything we sow, we will reap. Genesis 1:18, it goes right back. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. All right, so as long as the grass feeds the ground, the cycle of his life will continue. As long as the fruit tree feeds the ground, the cycle of life will continue. It will reproduce again. If, however, one gives more than the other, the cycle is broken and you end up with barren ground. I don't want any single person in C3 Church, in Frio or Wellard, to end up in barren ground. They have a life as they follow a cycle that God has planned for them that actually brings blessing and prosperity into their world. It's a cycle. Now, let me give you an illustration of this from the natural world. I looked this up from the Department of Agriculture. Salinity in this state is a big issue. In fact, we have half of Australia's salinity issue is here. And mostly in the southeast and southwest of our state. And according to the Department of Agriculture, $519 million is the estimated damage per year. Over 1 million hectares of farmland are affected, and some of the more arid areas develop salinity naturally, and because there simply isn't enough plant life to sustain the soil and not enough rainfall. And so what happens is that it becomes quite saline, salty. However, secondary salinity has been a major driver for the change in soil conditions. And it's the clearing for agriculture has played a significant factor. Deep-rooted, perennial native vegetation. Does anyone want to be deep-rooted in church today? Does anyone want to have their roots going down deeper than they are right now? This is what happened. Clearing for agriculture. They were deep-rooted. Perennial native vegetation used to be there. Is now replaced with shallow-rooted annual crops and pastures. And this allows for more groundwater recharge. The groundwater rises, then evaporates. And what you're left with is this salty, crusty earth. Has anyone been down south and seen that? All right, so we know what we're talking about. Whenever you change the natural cycle of life that God has established, there is going to be degradation. So my first point this morning is this. Give what is giving to you. Give what is giving to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, give what is giving to you. Matthew 21, verse 19, has a really interesting statement from Jesus. I'm sure you've read it and thought, what is going on there? Seeing a fig tree by the road, this is Jesus, he came to it but found nothing on it but leaves. Let's just leave it there for a moment. When Jesus saw from afar that a fig tree had leaves, he expected to find figs. Because with fig trees, the fig comes before the leaf. And then the leaf develops soon after that. And so in the region of Judea, it was not uncommon for figs to be present 10 months of the year. And since the leaves generally come after the fruit, it was natural to assume there would be figs on the tree. So I want to ask a question. Did Jesus kill the fig tree because he was hungry? I have been surfing, I've been riding my bike, and I haven't eaten anything all day long. And I am starving, I'm famished. I'm so hungry I could eat the doorpost. And I rock up to my favourite pizza place, the sun has well gone down. And I go to push on the door to order two large pizzas and garlic bread and a whole lot of drinks because I'm famished. I push on the door and it's closed. I look through. They've gone home. They can't go home. I go to my car. I pull out a rag. I put that rag in my petrol tank. And then I light the pizza place up and I burn that pizza place down. Did Jesus really curse the fig tree because he was hungry? He cursed the fig tree, listen to me, he cursed the fig tree because it broke the law, his law. It had broken the cycle. He cursed the fig tree because the fig tree was receiving, but it was not giving. Do we want to be a people this morning that are not only receiving, but are giving? You say yes. Thank you. If you enjoy somebody's input in your life, friendship in your life, give back to them. Amen? Does anyone enjoy anybody's company in church today? Give back to them. Renska, welcome back from your trip. Good to see you. How's the legs? Still there. If you are throwing a party for others, whatever that occasion may be generous. If you're throwing a party, be generous. Provide food for your guests. It's a way of showing that you value them and simply want them to be a part of your celebration. You have received from them. It's your way of giving back to them. Likewise, when you're invited to somebody else's house, don't just rock up. Be a blessing. Bring something to show that you care about them and you're grateful for having you for dinner or whatever you're doing that night. Show value. It's a two-way street, people. And God has established principles to help us continue his cycle of life. Does anyone want to be in the cycle of God's life? Because there's a really important. It's countercultural in many ways today. I've noticed this. But the biblical Bible hasn't changed. The Bible's got great principles for us to have our best life. And I'd rather live a blessed best life than miss out. And it's not about what you give as a present. It's simply about actually being a blessing. Give what is giving to you. Every time you break this law, things will not work out for you as you thought or hoped for. So let's say you're newly married. Do we have any people that have been married under 2 years here today? Oh, yeah, Josh. Bree's not here. She's in America, right? Singapore, yeah, Singapore. You know, all right, so we got Josh anyway. All right. And maybe, hopefully, some on the way real soon. Thank you, Jesus. That's just for me. And you give and you give and you give, but your spouse does not reciprocate in the marriage. I guarantee that marriage is in deep trouble. If you don't give what is given to you, you will kill the source. There is only so much someone can tolerate. 1 Timothy 5:18, you shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain. The ox is going to be of no value to you if it gets no return. And so in farming, as the ox is doing the work for the farmer, it eats some of the grain. And this particular verse is actually, like Galatians 6, is actually a reference to those whom God has placed in his church to bring the word, teach and look out for you. And joy is more difficult from your servant, or his or her strength is diminished. Their revelation may be less prominent. They have been restricted because very little is flowing back to them. And so anything that feeds you, you must feed it. That is a biblical principle. Do we agree today, church? Anything that feeds you, you must give back to it. I'm not sure we've got it yet. Anything that feeds you, you must give back to it. If you don't feed anything else, common sense says you feed what is feeding you. Because you like that they're feeding you. And that's a blessing. You bless what is blessing you to help what is helping you. You pour into what is pouring into you. Everything operates in this way, by giving back what has been given to you. God has a system of reciprocation. Feed what feeds you. Say it with me. Feed what feeds you. Give what is giving to you, and apply this principle in your relationships, and especially those who are close to you. Apply this principle in church life. Apply this principle when the tithes and offerings come at the end of this message, that we are a blessing to those who feed us. Second, feed what feeds you in your relationships, all right? I've touched on this a little bit already. Whenever you violate God's laws of reciprocation, I said it won't go well for you. And so, as I said, salinity becomes a big issue. We ourselves can become quite dry and crusty and ineffective simply because we've chosen to violate God's law of reciprocation. And so the book of Colossians talks about the Christian home. It is a partnership between a man and a woman in the marriage. It is best not to provoke your children to anger, the Bible says. It is right that children, even adult children, it is right that children obey their parents and do not always get their own way. Hallelujah. God makes us complete when we look out for and after another person. How do we become complete? When we look out for and after, yeah, another person. And so, let me give you an illustration from my own life. When I was a young fella in my 20s, mid-20s, it was about my dad. My dad has unfortunately lost his life early in life. He died to cancer. And before he died, I used to drive him to hospital many times because I was at Bible college at the time and I had a bit of spare time, and take him to those appointments. And basically wherever he wanted to go, I would take him, because it was either that or he'd get on his scooter. He had one of those broom broom, you know, actually motorcycle scooter, and Mum and I looked at each other and go, "You're not going out on that, Dad." And so I'd take him to all his appointments. And here's the thing, Dad and I didn't really get on that well. Well, through my teenage years, I should probably add. But after I took him places, after I picked him up, after his appointments and his operations, and I'd collect him and, you know, get him however we needed to into the car, after he asked me to pray with him that Mum and my brother would be okay once he was gone, something changed between us. I started to see Dad for what he had done, not what he had not. He always provided for me. He got me out of a number of situations that were seriously stupid on my part. He cared and supported me. And now it was my turn to give back with whatever time he had left. Can I say, church, that let's not look at the negative in other people. Let's look at the good, and let's go with the good in other people's lives, so that we actually become more unified, that we actually become, you know what? I am grateful for that in that person's life. I am grateful for that in that person's life. They may not have it all together in that area, but I can learn from them just the same. Can we be not that arrogant that we can actually get along with everyone? Feed what feeds you. Galatians 6:7, my wife's favorite verse, do not be deceived. Do not be. God is not. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap also. Whatever a man sows, who'd like to sow some good in someone else's life today? Like to sow some good in isn't this the Christian life? It is never too late to attempt to mend a relationship that may be broken. I'm so grateful for that time I had with my own dad. And God says, what you do for me, I will do for you. It says something about your character when you give back to what has been given to you. You are not too big. You are not too important. You're not too proud. God is not. What we sow, we will reap. What you do for another, you will receive. And therefore, whatever you sow as parents, you will reap with your kids. If you sow disrespect, guess what? You're going to get disrespect. If you show hostility, you can't expect to reap love. If you show greed, you can't expect to reap generosity or prosperity. And so whatever a man sows, that he shall reap also. And so if you want friends, don't put your hands up if you need a friend today. It's okay. You've got friends. You're here. But if you want friends, seriously, show yourself friendly. I was preaching to myself this morning. If people don't like you, it's likely you're not nice. I'm just saying how it is, you know? If people don't like you, maybe it's because you talk about yourself all the time. Come on. If people don't get along with you that well, try staying quiet. Why don't you say something when you've got something nice to say to someone? See, that are these truth? These are truths from the Bible, right? Are we allowed to speak honestly in church? See, the truth is people always come around nice people. Any kind of relationship of value needs feeding. And anything you take on that is living, who's got more than one pet at home? Quite a lot of you. Anything that you take on that's living, who knows, you've got to feed it. Who knows, it costs more money than you thought it would. I have been left to feed over the many years. Now that my children are pretty much adults, it's different, but I've been left to feed and look after a dog, a few cats, and some fish. Well, the truth is the fish were mine, but they lived just fine. The other pets, they didn't fare so well. And for the most part, because the original owner did not take responsibility to care and maintain for them. I became like a greyhound with one of the dogs that we had, the dog we had for a while there, running up and down the beach, and then I thought, this is not my dog, why am I doing this? Dog went to a greener pasture. I did not destroy that dog, if anyone's wondering. It went to a chicken farm, just so you're aware. Anything living needs feeding. Anything living needs feeding. Don't take on more than you can feed. So what about your church? Last point. What about your church? Paul says in Galatians, and in many other passages as well in the New Testament, that he is giving up his life, he's pouring it out like a drink offering, feeding into you. So why do you call it robbery to feed me? Paul says to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 9:11, I'm going to use the Message version. The master directed that those who spread the message be supported by those who believe the message. Does anyone believe the message this morning? Do we believe in the word of God? And so here we have a passage of scripture, and it's slightly different in some of the translations, but it still means pretty much the same thing. The master directed that those who spread the message be supported by those who believe the message. So when you go to a restaurant, they don't ask you to pay the bill for the other table, but they do yours. They expect you to pay the bill for what you ate and drank. If I feed you, aren't you supposed to feed me? It's a question. And if you don't, in the restaurant case, the police come to the table. Has that ever happened at your restaurant? No. You'd be too kind. You'd probably let them off. If anyone wants to go to a great Indian restaurant, go to Copper Chimney on South Terrace and support Budgie and Lance. Best Indian restaurant in the whole of the world. There you go. See, if you don't pay the bill at your table, for your table, they're not asking you to pay for the table next to you. They're asking you to pay your bill. The police will come if they can restrain you long enough, because the restaurant will not be mocked. I've fed you, you feed me. What about your church? Are you trying to draw from something where you have little investment? Wherever you are being fed, wherever you are, make sure you feed them. If you are getting something, be not deceived. God is not put in. Turn to your neighbor and say, put in. It's called giving to God. It keeps his cycle of life going for you. Thanks, music team. It's why the fig tree failed to produce. It was drawing down deep. It had leaves but failed to produce fruit. Some people are better takers than givers. If you are going to draw, give on the level that you draw from, or there will be a gradual decline in your spiritual life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is talking about a system. He is talking about a cycle. Do not tamper with the cycles of God. Don't violate God's patterns. And we're going to take up our tithes and offerings shortly. And if this is an area that you have neglected or fallen short in, why not make right today? God is not. Why not make right today? Maybe you've been, I've slipped a few weeks. I haven't tithed at all for a long time. Well, God bless you. It's good you're still here. But feed what feeds you. It's a biblical principle that's going to bring incredible blessing back into your life. Whatever areas in your life you are underfunding, let me say that again. What are some of the areas in your life that maybe you're underfunding and overexpecting it? If you want more out of a relationship, but you're not putting in. If you want more out of your career, but you're not willing to put in the study. If you want more out of your kids, but you let them do whatever they want. If you want more out of your church, but you're not putting in. In church life, you have got to put more in to get more out. It's the cycle of God. If you're not serving in church, you've got to get involved, because that's exactly where you actually get your fuel and your enthusiasm for the vision of what He has for you and the next journey part of your life. So in church life, you've got to put more in to get more out. It's a cycle of God. Can we stand to our feet just for a moment? I want to pray for us and then ask you to sit. We're going to take up an offering this morning that honors God. What feeds you? Whatever feeds you, I need to feed that. So Father, today, before we take up this offering, our general tithes and offerings this morning, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be a people that put you first in our life. And Lord, that we would adhere to the cycle of life. The cycle of life. Lord, I want to get to those gates of heaven and you say to me, thank you for not mocking me. Thank you for putting me first in this area of your life. Welcome, my servant. The people of God said, amen. Amen. Take your seats for a moment. We're going to take up our offering. But just before we do, can I just say, make one last statement. Change the investment to change the outcome. You've got to ask a really serious question. Are you making money or are you making people? Are you making money or are you making people? Are you making money or are you making people? Jesus is all about making people. So, Father, today, as we take up our tithes and offerings, I pray, Lord, that whatever feeds me, we will feed that, that we may live a blessed and rich life. The people of God said, amen. Let's say, we haven't finished our service yet. Just got one more thing to do. Thanks, guys.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy to be praised. High and lifted up.
We stand on our feet, church. Let's sing this song together.
Worthy is the Lamb, worthy to be praised, and high and lifted up, Jesus raised.
Lord God, maybe you're here today and, you know, God's done all the work. He's died on the cross for you. He's given you the victory, but you haven't accepted what He has done for you. Will you step out today and pray a prayer with the rest of us in just a moment and acknowledge Jesus as Lord of your life? And as you do that, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand at the end of the prayer and say, yeah, that's me. And we're going to welcome you into the family of God. You join the cycle of life, His life that's never ending. You can rely on Him for the rest of your life. Can we pray this prayer together? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you died for me on the cross.
Thank you that you died for me from the cross.
You took on the pain, that should have been mine. You took on the sin. So that I can have freedom. Today, Lord, I receive of your life. Become my Lord and my Savior. Right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.